Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zach R. Scott coming to you live from North Carolina. And today, I'm just going to call it Action Packed Thursday because there's a lot to get to today. I want to make sure we cover it all. But first, I obviously want to start off in the Word to give a strong foundation for what we're seeing happen in the natural as the natural reveals the spiritual. Today, the title I gave this episode was Discernment for the Day Ahead. And when we look at this passage of scripture in Matthew 16, and it's really the entire chapter, I think is a good, giving a good foundation for understanding discernment of how we can clearly see some things. God kind of holds back some things, even with the disciples here in Matthew 16, and then sometimes he clearly tells us, and you know, we can see it clearly as we'll walk through this here in a second. But the first scripture I want to really, really highlight is Matthew 16, verse 2, where Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and Sadducees. And in verse 1, he says, "The Pharisees and Sadducees came up and testing Jesus, they asked him to show them a sign from heaven. But he replied to them, 'When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red, and in the morning there will be a storm today, for the sky is red and threatening. Do you know how to discern the appearance of the sky, but cannot discern the signs of the time?'" And he goes on in verse 4 to say, "And an evil, adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and a sign will not be given it, except the sign of Jonah." And obviously this is a rebuke of the Pharisees and Sadducees. But through it, it also tells us, look, we can seek the Lord to discern the times of the seasons and the times of the signs. And that's really what we're focusing on here as we reorder our day and getting in that right alignment with the Lord so that we can discern the times that we are walking in. And as we walk in the next season, which has been shown to us to be different than it is now, to say the least. We're in the season of wilderness. Chuck points out here in his prayer point is, ask the Lord to give you a clear interpretation for or of the day ahead so that you can discern what is really going on, not just looking for this big, huge, miraculous thing. Is the signs are there. We don't have to see signs. Yes, those things are amazing. We don't worship that gift. Be like doubting Thomas, you know, I have to see it before I believe it. Of, all right, Lord, you're showing things. You're telling us things. You might have already told us. Yeah, am I discerning it correctly? And then we go out and look at some other parts of this. We want to look at the rest of this chapter, not just focus on that. And we look at here Peter's confession of Christ. And how he came to that, and Jesus tells him. And what's interesting is, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And then Jesus goes and said, "I'll build my church upon this rock." It is sometimes we don't have to have that blatant, you know, the hand of God right before us when we see the hole in his hand. Is the Lord can reveal it to us. But are we listening? Are we discerning? Are we in that place where we're spending time with the Lord in his word, in focusing on the revelations that he's been revealing to us? And so we're seeing, again, we go on next through the rest of the chapter, Jesus foretells his death, but the disciples didn't understand that. There's sometimes, you know, the Lord will reveal things clearly to us and we just won't understand it. That doesn't mean that what he's telling us isn't relevant. It's just if it's not there, you know, John West always talks about, he's like, if I don't get a clear understanding of it, put it on the shelf and not forget about it. But I'm not really sure about that. Because sometimes there's dreams we have, there's things that happen that we don't fully understand. And sometimes it may not be for this season. It may be for another time. And that revelation wasn't fully there for them to fully grasp about his death. And they struggled with that. And then I think sometimes this one, the Lord, the cost of discipleship, the Lord intentionally kind of gives us a blind revelation on. Because if we sometimes if people don't fully understand it, it's somewhat better for them to be naive, to walk out a little bit. But then as you gain it, you understand the full fruits of it, of what it costs in the long run to really walk out as Jesus clearly says. There is a cost for being a disciple. But I think the reward here, I think this is where, you know, discernment is needed so much. It is that for the Son of Man, in verse 27, for the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then will repay every man according to his deeds. And truly I say to you, there are some of those who are standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And so we're seeing here that there's each little story gives a different perspective of discernment and how the disciples were able to see the signs of the time versus what the Pharisees were able to see, and being blind and wanting the signs, wonders, and miracles. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, not that we can't seek those things, but it's if that's the only way we're going to believe, if that's the only way we're going to understand how and what is happening in this earth, the Lord is telling us, look, even going back to the beginning of how some adulterous generations seek a sign, but then they will only be given the sign of Jonah, a word from the Lord, from a prophet, from somebody rebuking them. And it's a challenge for us to listen to that still small voice of the Lord to allow us to walk out the understanding of what the Lord is revealing to us in our private quiet times through that still small voice. So again, we want to focus on today asking the Lord to give us a clear interpretation for the day ahead so that we can discern not only the seasons we're in, but the day ahead as well. All right. With that, I'm glad that that was our prayer point today, because there's some things I want to go through that a couple things we want to continue to pray on. Obviously the Ukraine, Iran, China issue, but also there's a lot of news that has come out today. Some economic indicators came out this morning that I think is there for us to look at and to see just what's happening and what could potentially come down the road. So I want to start with some interesting news out of Ukraine and Russia scenario is that Putin has come out stronger in pushing back against people who want to get involved with Ukraine and push back against Russia and its involvement in that war. And so we're seeing he came out and has said that in warning the West of a lightning-fast response to any country intervening in the Ukraine war and creating strategic threats, quote-unquote, to China, to Russia. And saying, he also said, we have all the instruments that no one can boast of. We're going to use them if we have to. And this is a response to what Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin said the other day, is we're gonna attack Russia, we're going to end this now. And it's like, look, don't buck up against Russia. That's not the proper response, especially when you've already showed through Afghanistan that you're not going to stay forward on this line that you have self-imposed, this red line that you've created. That's not a wise decision. Putin is calling your bluff right now, as he knows they will bluff, unfortunately, for the people of Ukraine. Now, what is interesting with hearing this is now Germany is saying, you know, we need to build up our defenses. We need to get in, possibly get involved and be strong enough to deter Russia from attacking other countries within the EU and NATO and et cetera. So we're seeing things play out here in this scenario that the world is now different. If Germany's now talking about this, what does that look like? We have our forces over there as part of their defense, but are they going to get back and building up their own military? Or is the EU going to build up? Is NATO, like, what is that going to look like? I think it's something to pray for wisdom for our administration because of some of the decisions that they're making are causing these nations to look elsewhere towards defense. Because if you look at what happened with Ukraine, is they're being left on an island. At the end of the day, are these other nations going to be left on an island if Russia continues to go forward and take back land that was once part of the Soviet Union? It's interesting there. I'm not saying I have the full discernment there. It's one of those things I'm kind of blind on, but it's like, all right, Lord, what's going on? I'm trying to discern what's happening in the natural, but also seek the Lord for what is happening in the spiritual. Now, we also have prophetic to be wary and watch Israel and China. And so with that, there's news that is now becoming public of an increasing interrelationship between China and Iran. And there's a report out of the Epoch Times that does a great job of pointing out that currently Iran and Chinese officials, military officials, government officials are going back and forth between each nation, and they're having intermilitary trainings, which the U.S. does with its allies. But for Russia and China to start doing that is very interesting. Iran has a history of training bad actors, to say the least, to take out attacks and military actions in the past through secret warfare, to say it the best way. Now they're doing it openly with China. What does that mean for the future? Now, China itself needs some training. They haven't been in major wars in a very, very long time, to say the least. So this could be part of it. Okay, they want to get involved with modern warfare, understand the tactics and training since they've been out of it. I mean, the only people they've really been fighting is India at their southern border. And even when they got involved in North Korea, it was a disaster elsewhere. So they also have a strategy to not get involved in wars in the past. So this, I'm not saying that will change, but I'm saying this is interesting to see. What does this now mean that Iran is training and getting involved with China and building that partnership, even as the United States is trying to get back into the Iran nuclear deal, as Russia is the intermediary between all that. So we want to pray for our leaders there on those issues, as well as now we're seeing more news come out of some problem relationships, not just with the federal government and China, more so the Biden family, but local U.S. government, state, and local municipalities over the past 15 years or so have provided Chinese companies upwards of $1.7 billion in subsidies to either come to their cities, their states, whatever the case may be, where these Chinese companies steal intellectual property, take it back, produce it in China for a lot cheaper. And part of this is to, quote unquote, help the local economies that these nations are in. But I think this partnership is very alarming. And depending on what sector they're in, could cause, even this article points out, some cyber espionage of certain types of technologies being made, which is why you had Trump basically ban the Chinese company, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, Huawei, the cell phone maker and network there in from coming into the U.S. because he understood the potential risks involved there. Same for his reasoning for trying to shut down TikTok and such like that is because China's a bad actor. They're not honest in how they have business, even business relationships. And so we're seeing this start to be a rise, and there's other areas as well where they're doing this. So we want to, with all this coming out, we want to pray for wisdom for our administration and those in there to have the fear of the Lord and listen to the Lord and the Holy Spirit when dealing with Russia, Ukraine, Israel, and China, because the decisions that they make now will affect what's happening in the future. And look, if they're not going to listen to the Lord on this, let the people who are underneath see the decision makers, what decisions they're making. Let the voters see what decisions are they making. Because at the end of the day, it's not just, oh, to put the right person in place. Look, we all have to be in a place, and especially the ecclesia, the church, the body of Christ needs to be in a place where we're listening to the Lord, where we're getting in that right alignment to make sure in our relations with our leaders and in our daily lives and our church leaders and our local communities, are we living a life exemplary towards Christ? And then are we being a light to those who holding each other accountable to live that life exemplary towards Christ, keeping our emotions in check and making sure we're doing what the Lord wants, not what we want. Okay, now some shifting to more U.S. news. The news came out this morning that the U.S. economy shrank over the first quarter, which is, I think, it can be surprising. It can't be surprising. There's some economists who are shocked by this because they thought it would just kind of flatten out. But in reality, there's some key indicators that went the opposite way. But the Wall Street Journal points out very clearly, is like, look, the reason the economy jumped up so high is because you had government stimulus and ultimately the economy reopened. Mandates went away, people started getting back out. And so things are starting to really lay an economic level into a level where you're seeing what the true market is at. You couldn't continue to have that spike coming out of COVID. So things are somewhat getting back to reality, but also because of inflation and price hikes and the lack of materials, and that's going to come up here in another story, is because of a lack of materials, is prices are going to continue to rise. And so people are having to, with prices increasing and inflation and et cetera, people are having to determine what is a necessity, needs versus wants. That type of, do I pay my electric bill? Do I pay my food bill? Do I go do this in entertainment? You know, looking at their budgets and saying, okay, I kind of need to cut back on this. Some are, some aren't. The credit card data shows that some are using credit cards to do the non-discretionary things, disposable things that they probably shouldn't be doing in this season. Going further into debt when they need to be staying out of debt. So it's a natural revealing the spiritual of things are kind of coming to a standstill with interest rates going to continue to arise. We need to be wise in what we're doing now and in the season ahead for what is potentially coming and what is we've been warned prophetically of a downturn in the market. And the redemptive thing of that is that if you're out of debt, cash will be king. And if you look at the example of the Great Depression, that was the example that came out. All right. Now, something that will be an indicator in the season ahead with the cost of energy is the decisions being made from the Biden administration to limit the ability of oil and gas companies to drill. And a big story that came out the other day is in Alaska. The Bureau of Land Management has now slashed millions of acres eligible for oil and drilling in Alaska. So not only were they not selling oil or lease gas on federal lands, since the beginning of the Biden administration, and they're really not now, which is part of why gas and oil prices are going up right now. But then you limit the ability of where they can and cannot drill. And this is part of a hit back on some of the decisions Trump made. Some environmentalists are claiming we need to stop this is harmful to the land there, and although that's unfounded, but there's a report that came out from oil and gas watchers, gas buddies, that talks about how right now the U.S. oil production has increased 300,000 barrels per day, which we're really down 2.7 million barrels per day from the height of even under the Trump administration. And even with the 300 barrels we're producing, they're pulling a million barrels. Remember that word, they're pulling a million barrels per day for until August, 6 months out of the strategic oil reserves, which ultimately hurt us because they're going to have to replace that, and it's going to come at a higher cost. So that means more tax dollars, your dollars spent towards that. Not a good decision there. And part of what they're seeing through all of this is not only is it slow because they haven't been selling and drilling for the past year or two since Biden came in office, but now they're going to start and it takes time. And also at the same time is investors are saying, well, you need to be smart in how you're doing this, and went back to the sourcing of materials. It's becoming a problem for these companies to find the equipment that they need to be able to drill. And sometimes just because you start drilling doesn't mean it's not Jed Clampett. You just shoot at the ground and oil starts come bubbling up. That's not how that happens. It takes several months for them to get the oil extracted and get it out of the ground. And so we're seeing that now. So energy prices, with what's going on in Russia and Ukraine, as oil and gas becomes more scarce, the price could potentially rise. And right now it's staying kind of steady and slowing down because of the release from the oil reserves. But that's, at the end of the day, that's a facade for what is coming. So we want to be aware of that and understand that in the season ahead for what is potentially going to come and will come, unfortunately. And then this next story I want to shift to is something for us to pray about, is you have the President of the United States coming out and really protecting, I know this may offend some, teachers' unions, and this may offend some people. My wife is a teacher. She got upset when we first met about how I showed her the realities of what teachers' unions actually did. And President Biden came out yesterday when he was honoring a teacher who is teaching critical race theory to children in Ohio as the educator of the year. He said that conservatives need to stop making teachers the target of culture wars. As you've seen across the land, parents rising up. I mean, this is a major issue for Virginia in their last gubernatorial election last year, and why the Democrats lost, because even Democrats didn't want to vote for Democrats who wanted to advance these things. And he also, in the same speech, said, when children are in the classroom, they're your children, speaking to the teachers, meaning that you get to decide what's being taught. You get to decide the future of this nation. And this is very alarming that the president would release this and say this on the record. And so what we want to do here is continue to pray for parents, because at the end of the day, the parents have the option right now to be able to not have to send their kids to public schools. And so we want to pray and repent for parents and ourselves, everybody involved, for giving up the education system to Caesar, to an unbiblical worldview, and intercede for parents to get involved and take back the education mountain for the Lord, as parents are called to raise up the children in the way that they should go. And so we're seeing this, and we have prophetic on that for those who are new. of a dream telling us about this situation is that parents eventually, they didn't want to get involved at first, but eventually will. And this is, again, this is becoming with the midterms. This is one of those issues that we need to be fully aware of. If people are struggling, you know, whether to vote for somebody because of pro-life or whatever, wow, that is a major issue. This is an easier issue for them to say, hey, do you want your kids to be brainwashed? Do you want your kids to not understand reading, writing, and arithmetic? Because that's the issue at the end of the day is he's telling teachers, hey, you don't have to teach the basics of what you're number one trained to do, but then you're hired to do of teaching reading, writing, and arithmetic. But you can teach them whatever you want because you're the parent. You're the person in charge and nobody can stop you. But parents, some state officials, Florida is leading, Virginia is leading on saying, no, that's not enough. And look, this is a non-knock against every teacher. There are some teachers who do their job. There are plenty of teachers who do their job. It's just certain pockets of the country where teachers do things that aren't necessarily their job. And they try to indoctrinate and teach kids certain things that are, number one, not logical, which that's not really why you would want to do something, but I digress. But also, that's not what they're hired to do. You send a kid to school. You hope to have them return understanding how to read, write, and do arithmetic. And teachers are not doing that. And two more stories, and I told you today it was going to be rapid. Two more stories of something to watch out for. And I'm trying to seek the Lord how to pray. More so is we need brave hearts to rise up in this season, because yesterday the Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, in front of a Senate hearing committee or a congressional hearing committee, pointed out the fact that DHS has now revealed a new initiative to lawmakers about creating a disinformation governance board to quote unquote fight misinformation, and saying that they will maintain free speech, privacy, and civil rights. The whole idea that you need a board to censor free speech or censor disinformation, quote unquote, goes against the very thing that you're saying you want to do. Again, this is the hypocritical things we talked about yesterday, about saying, well, we're gonna do the laws and uphold the laws that are already on the books, but they're not doing it already. And this is saying, well, we're gonna allow free speech as long as we agree with the free speech. Anything else is to the contrary. And there was a quote in here, and the person who they're getting to run this is Nina Jankowicz, who has a history of standing for and allowing real disinformation and standing against the truth, i.e. the Hunter Biden laptops issue, and saying, well, that's just Russia disinformation and blah, blah, blah. And look, the part of this is that, look, if you want free speech and you really care about free speech, let the test of time reveal the truth. If it's not true, what's the point of sitting here and trying to combat every little thing? You know, when the disciples came up to Jesus and said, hey, that person over there, they're speaking about you. What should we do? What should we do? Should we call help? Like, what should we do about them? And Jesus says, don't worry about them. If they're speaking biblical knowledge, they're speaking what I'm saying, what the Lord is saying, don't worry about them. The truth will reveal itself. And so if we see these things happening, we see this disinformation coming out, yeah, you can call it out. That's fine. That's not true, or maybe this part's true, that's not true, and discern, use a discernment to see what is true. But to sit here and say we need to stop everything at the initiation, when if you did that what was done on the Hunter Biden laptop story, is that it came out to be the complete opposite of what the mainstream media and even the government was saying. So is that free speech? Is that civil rights? Is that freedom that you're protecting, even though you're silencing it? There was a national security expert, Bridget Gabriel, wrote that this is absolutely true. Joe Biden is creating his own Ministry of Truth in reference to George Orwell's dystopian novel 1984. And again, that book was written in the 1940s by George Orwell, and he understood what what road that the federal government in the United States was heading down, and getting involved in issues like this. And so this is very alarming. And right now, what they're doing is not giving authority yet to this board, but they're creating it so that one day they will, in hopes of giving it teeth to actually be able to prosecute and hold people accountable for things they say, i.e. online, Facebook, Twitter, etc., out there. So this is very alarming, something we're going to be aware of in the season ahead. And then I want to end on this. This is actually a significant victory. And the fact that it's, if you know 538, Nate Silver's really election watching, they look at polls and things and look at things. For them to come out and say this is very interesting, is that the story reads, New York just cost Democrats their big redistricting advantage, which because the interim governor of New York unconstitutionally, Kathy Hochul, put forward a congressional map, a judge struck it down in saying, look, you can't do this. And the state constitution in New York requires now, because of 2014 change, requires the state of New York to put forward a bipartisan map. Now, what this means is that Democrats in New York, number one, are going to have to uphold the constitution that they themselves wrote and changed. And there are even some Democrats in New York who were upset that Hochul did this. But now they got to come back to the table, negotiate a fair congressional map moving forward for the primaries and future elections, really for the next 10 years. But this reveals the corruption that was going on in this decision, but also it's okay. This is leveling the playing ground, letting things be fair as they seem. Now, that doesn't mean that Republicans are going to get more districts and they're going to be able to get more. Look, New York is a very, very, because of certain pockets around the state, a very liberal state, it's still going to swing blue. It just won't be by as much. And then with what happened in Florida, really it'll overshoot the advantage that they had hoped to have here via this. And again, this lets the level playing field, the constituents in those districts, those congressional districts, to be able to vote and have their say of who actually represents them. So this is a victory for constitutionality, for freedom. And understand this, is the analysis that 538 put out is that this could give Republicans a 5-seat majority going into the new Congress, or depending on how things play out with, because there's still litigation going on with the congressional map in Florida, and now what happens to the congressional map here in New York. So things are still yet to be determined. It's not fully set in stone yet about what's going to happen, but this is a victory for freedom and truth coming forward. And this is why you have to keep your emotions in check. Because if you sat there and you saw the map that they put forward originally, and you're like, oh my gosh, it's going to be the end of the world. Play the test of time. Let it play out. If you keep your emotions in check, waiting for the truth to come out, waiting for things to play out as they should, as you know, the entanglements of what's actually happening, what's legal, what's not, and then praying for the truth to come forward, is what we have been in these situations. And now the truth comes forward and righteousness was ruled in favor of this. Now, it doesn't mean, you know, everything's going to swing a certain way, but it is a stand and a victory for giving hope for the future. And again, the New Yorkers have to decide. Just because a map says something a certain way by what 538 says doesn't mean that it will actually happen. People have a decision to make in the primaries, and then in the general election come November. So I'll close on that. Thank you, everyone, for following along. Don't forget, we put these out on podcasts. If you want to share these with friends who may not be on Facebook or on part of our group, you'll be able to share with them, to have people join in with us, praying for this nation, being aware, discerning what is happening in the times and seasons in this nation as the natural reveals the spiritual, so that we can get back to being a nation that spreads the gospel of the kingdom to the nations. Blessings, and I will see you guys tomorrow. Have a good one.